Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Arsenal Women Arsecast on arseblog.com. I am recording this live from the very glamorous location of the London Colney car park. That's Arsenal's training ground, for those of you who don't know. I'm here for the match day minus one media day ahead of Arsenal's sold out Champions League semi-final against Wolfsburg at Emirates Stadium on Monday evening. You're going to hear from a few different people in this podcast. So first up, you'll hear from Leah Valti, and this was an interview recorded in the mix zone after the first leg in Germany. Then we'll drop in some audio from Jonas Eidevall's pre-match press conference, Lotte Wubben-Moy. We'll also be speaking to the press, so we'll drop in some of that audio. And I'll try and grab someone else from around here to have a quick chat about the game as well. But I just thought at the top, I'd preview this game a little bit. Particularly maybe for those of you who are only semi-engaged in the women's team, maybe you're on your way to the game and you want a little bit of info about how things are going down and how things are shaping up. You'll probably already know that the first leg was a 2-2 draw in Germany, which was a pretty extraordinary result for Arsenal in the end, given the amount of injuries they have to very important players, but also because they went 2-0 behind in Lower Saxony last week. And again, for those of you who don't know, Wolfsburg are a powerhouse in women's football. They won the Champions League in 2013-2014. The slight misfortune for them over the last 10 years is they've really been the bridesmaid to Lyon in terms of European women's football. So Lyon have been the best team probably before Barcelona really came along a couple of years ago, and Wolfsburg were always the second best team. And actually, if you look at the pattern of who knocks Wolfsburg out of the Champions League, I mean, last season it was Barcelona in the semi-final, and before that it was nearly always Lyon. Lyon and Wolfsburg had a very kind of gold and silver medal relationship, shall we say. But Wolfsburg, absolutely huge team in women's football, great pedigree. They're in this stage, the latter stages of the Champions League, every single year. So for Arsenal to come from 2-0 behind in that first leg was no mean feat, really. And I think Jonathan Liu from The Guardian worked out it's been 172 times that Wolfsburg have gone into a 2-0 lead and not giving it up. So Arsenal achieved something pretty extraordinary. Just to give you the lowdown on the injury situation, I mean, in November, Arsenal lost Beth Mead to an ACL injury. A few weeks later, they lost Vivian Miedema to an ACL injury. And really, those two players have been the fulcrum of their attack for 5 years now. 60% of Arsenal's WSL goals last season had Mead and or Miedema either scoring or assisting. They had a direct goal involvement in over half of Arsenal's league goals last season. And, you know, frankly, I think expectedly, it took a little bit of time for Arsenal to adjust to that. In the new year, they did struggle in front of goal, not just because of the quality of the players they were missing, but just because they haven't had to play without those players for so long. And then they kind of solved that problem, really. And particularly in early March, they beat Chelsea in the Conti Cup final. The Conti Cup is the equivalent of the League Cup. 3-1, and that really kind of jet propelled the team's belief, and they've put together some really, really strong results since, including knocking Bayern Munich out of the Champions League quarterfinal. So this is their first semi-final for 10 years in the Champions League, when they also played Wolfsburg in 2013, who beat Arsenal en route to winning the competition. Sorry, because I'm in the Colney car park, you will periodically hear cars gently rolling by, and maybe some light aircraft as well. But yeah, so Arsenal largely, I hesitate to say solved that problem, but they mitigated that issue of missing their two best attackers, or sorry, their two most productive attackers. They worked out other ways to play. They worked out other patterns. Then they lost their central midfielder and captain Kim Little in that brilliant 2-0 win at home to Bayern in the quarter final, and that was a big problem. But they repurposed Leah Williamson from centre-back, put her in midfield, a position she's played a lot in her career, and Arsenal went again and they found out a different way to play with a different midfielder. And then, of course, a couple of weeks ago, Leah Williamson goes down with an ACL injury, and at that point it's difficult not to feel like the whole world is against you. And then so to come from 2-0 behind when Arsenal really are still working out how they do this, particularly in midfield. So that made them real underdogs for this tie. But one of the things I think every Arsenal fan would have taken off the back of that first leg was essentially to turn this game, this second leg, into a one-off tie. Because remember, there are no away goals anymore. So effectively, that's it. It's a one-off tie and off we go. And obviously, we've got a sellout at Emirates Stadium for that tie, which is just extraordinary, really. And I think the club deserve a lot of credit for how hard they pushed this, particularly in a marketing sense. They had the tickets on sale for this game 2 minutes after the final whistle against Bayern Munich. They had all of the promotional materials ready to go. They pushed UEFA so that they could confirm the date of Bank Holiday Monday. UEFA usually kind of drag their heels around that type of thing, but Arsenal really pushed them and said, can we please confirm that's the date, because we're really keen to get the tickets on sale. So lots and lots of stuff happened behind the scenes to get those tickets on sale. 8,000 were sold within 24 hours of the final whistle against Bayern Munich, and that's really created the momentum to get this sellout. And I think also the way the team played in the first leg, the way they fought back to 2-2, again, I think that's created a lot of the conditions to get this game sold out. Had they crumbled at 2-0 in Germany, which they very well could have, and lost 3 or 4-0, then I don't think we'd be in this situation. So obviously the team deserve their credit for getting this to a sellout as well. But now it's up to Arsenal to use that and harness it as a real strength in this tie, because this is now a one-off game, and though they're quite depleted, they can really use the home crowd as kind of the 12th man, the 12th woman, the 12th person, however you want to frame that. So I think the thing really to look for ahead of the second leg, in the first leg, largely because of the injury situation, Jonas Eidevall started with a back three. It's something he's done a few times in recent months, and again it's largely been guided by injuries, but for the first 18 months of his reign, Jonas Eidevall did not move away from a 4-2-3-1 formation. But he's played a back three a couple of times. He's moved to it in game, but in Wolfsburg he decided to start with it, and like I said, a lot of that is just because a lot of central midfield players are missing, whereas they've got three fit centre-halves at the moment. So they dropped Jen Beattie into the middle of the back three. And Jen Beattie is just a brilliant penalty box defender, virtually unbeatable in the air, really, really good at marking and defending her penalty area. And then they put Lotta Wubben-Moy and Hafai Eli either side of her. And I think the question is whether Arsenal will go with that again in this leg. I think they will. And the key reason I think they'll at least start with a back three is that we've just watched the open training session, and Australian winger Caitlin Ford, who's been another really key player for Arsenal, was training alone with the physio. She's had a hamstring injury for the last 3 weeks, so it doesn't look like she'll make it. Had she been fit, I think Arsenal might have gone back to their 4-2-3-1. But without Caitlin, I think they'll at least start with a back three again. So I'm expecting the team to be unchanged, actually, from the first leg. And Arsenal didn't have a game haven't had a game after that first leg as well. So they've had, 8 days to prepare for this. They've had the opportunity for a bit of time off as well. So I'm expecting the team to start with Zinsberger in goal, Lotta Wubben-Moy, Jen Beattie and Hafai Eli in defence. It will be between Noel Maritz and Laura Wienreuter at right wing back. I think Laura Wienreuter might come into the team. And the reason I think this is because Wolfsburg actually had quite a lot of joy in the first leg, really switching play over to Arsenal's right-hand side. Wolfsburg have a left-winger, Icelandic left-winger, called Jónsdóttir, who's an incredibly direct, rangy, dribbly, tall, powerful player. Really, really good on the ball, really, really good at going past players. And what Wolfsburg were doing was quickly switching the play to her and trying to get in behind the right back. So I do wonder whether there might just be a change there, just because there's not much between Laura Wienreuter and Noelle Maritz at right wing back, to be honest with you. Left wing back will be Steph Catley, and then central midfield you'll have Leo Valti and Frieda Mornum, Stina Blackstenius up front. And what Arsenal will do, I think, if they play this formation, nominally you'll have Katie McCabe and Victoria Pelova, you know, in the three. I mean, I'd call it more of a 3-4-2-1 than a 3-4-3. I think you'll have Pelova on the right and McCabe on the left, as we had last week. But what I think you should really look out for is how often those players drop back into central midfield, because obviously you play a 3-4-3, you've only got two central midfielders. So McCabe and Pelova in particular were really dropping in from the wide position to stop Arsenal getting outnumbered in that central area. Hey Katie, you're right. How brilliantly timed is that? The woman herself, Katie McCabe. And so, yeah, particularly Katie really dropped back into midfield to stop Arsenal getting overloaded there, not least because Wolfsburg are an incredibly powerful team. They're probably physically the most powerful team in Europe. I mentioned Jónsdóttir. It doesn't look like Alexandra Popp will be fit to play up front, but they've got Eva Pior, who scored in the first leg, and Svenja Hutt on the right wing. They have Jill Roord in central midfield, of course, who used to play for Arsenal. Lena Oberdorf protecting their back four. They're a big team and they're a physical team, and so if you're going to play a 3-4-3, you do need that extra body in midfield. And that to me was the feature of the first leg. Arsenal kind of sat Jen Beattie in the penalty area, asked her to head missiles out of it because Wolfsburg are very good at putting crosses in, and then had Lotta, Wubenmoy and Hafaeli defending those kind of wide areas. But obviously with Leo Valti and Frieda Mornum in midfield, they needed that extra body, and Katie McCabe in particular did that brilliantly in the first leg. And then obviously it will depend on game state what happens after that, but one player that was training with the group again was Swedish forward Lena Hurtig. I don't think she'll be fit enough to start. She hasn't started a game in a few months now because she's had a troublesome foot injury, but I think at least in the kind of up the sleeve, as it were, for Jonas Eideval, if he wants to move back to a 4-2-3-1, he has Lena there, so he does actually have an extra attacker on the bench for the first time in a few weeks, just because of the injury situation. So those are all the things I think to look out for in this game. Now I'm going to turn this over to Leah Valti, and this was what she had to say a couple of minutes after the final whistle in Germany.
Played.
Thank you.
Do you want to go first,
buddy? Yeah, go on then. Why not? Hey, Leah. I feel like the strapping on your thigh, which seems to be getting bigger and bigger by the game, is like a bit of a symbol of what Arsenal are doing at the moment in terms of just being quite patched up and, you know, trying to respond to these injuries. How much did you know before this game that this was going to have to be a slightly different performance today?
I mean, yeah, when you have changed, like Leah got injured last week, we knew we were going to have to change something tactically, but also we're playing a German team. I've played in Germany for a long time. It's always going to be a physical game, we know that. And I think in the end it's about how we stick together as a team. We say it doesn't matter what system we play, what formation we play, against who we play. It's about us. It's about what intensity we can bring on the pitch. And I think today, you know what, like, we did a mistake, conceded the second goal. It was really shit in that moment, but we didn't give up. We didn't slow down the game. We tried to get our chances. And I think in the end we also deserved to draw. So I think it's a huge shift from everybody to be proud of.
Yeah, I was going to ask actually about the response to that second goal. This is where I understand that I'm not an elite athlete, because when that second goal went in, I'd have signed up for full time there and then. But how do you guys keep finding the resources to come back and just not give up in those moments?
You know what, it's so hard. I think at the minute that we have so many girls sitting at home watching us, they wanted to play here, they got injured really badly, and it makes the team sticking together even more. We know like everybody has to be on the highest level to be able to perform in these big games, and I think everybody works fucking hard, like from Stina on top, like I don't know, like she's making the pressing so much easier for us behind her, and everybody who stepped into roles like Chembi, who got player of the match, I just got told, like, you know, she hadn't had many minutes in the game, but she is ready. And I think that is very incredible at the minute of the team. No matter who is playing, we all know what to do. We go for each other and, you know, get goosebumps. It's just amazing. And yeah, I'm so, so proud of that result. But again, like, we have a second leg next week. And we want to go to the final.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask, actually. And don't worry, Reece, I'll, you know, soften some language on that. But I was going to ask about, because it feels like at the moment, Arsenal are running on not so much emotion but that fight and that kind of and how much of a difference can playing the second leg next week in front of, you know, maybe 50,000, maybe more fans, how much can that help next week as well?
Yeah, I think what we could see in the past, we do feel really confident at the Emirates playing in front of our fans, so I think it will give us an extra boost. I think also a little advantage for us. I do hope the fans can carry us throughout the game. I hope we can maybe have one or two players back who can have impact from the bench. So I think other than that, we just now need to recover well, and then we go into that game, but only with one goal. We want to go to the final. If you're that close, we're going to do everything to make it possible.
Okay, I'll be quiet now, but thank you.
Can I ask you, Leo, what sort of things were you saying to each other after the second Wolfsburg goal went in? How do you kind of rally together after a moment like that?
It doesn't need many words. I think a shoulder tap, a clap is enough. We all know, like, mistakes happen. We need to give each other confidence in that moment. We need to believe, and I think we did that. I think you could see straight after the mistake happened, Rafa was clapping and getting us up, and that's the reaction we needed.
And what's been the reaction now, like coming off the pitch to getting a draw here? Because it feels like a really kind of impressive scoreline against the defending German champions.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more that we came back from a 2-0 down. I think that gives us a boost, that gives us confidence, belief in that team. I think it means more than a 0-0, because we just showed so much passion on that field, and I think we said, like, something we can really be proud of, but there is a second leg. We haven't won anything, and we need to go again on Monday.
You obviously don't want those injury situations to happen, and it's obviously players like Kim and Leah that are big characters too. But what does it do to you as individuals, as leaders, to kind of have to step up in those moments?
Yeah, you know, like I said it before, injuries are unfortunately part of the game, and that we're that unlucky this season, that obviously is very frustrating, but we can't change that. So right now it's on us that other players will step up. I do think we have lots of players with a lot of experience internationally and nationally, and they stepped up. They stepped up before, but maybe you don't see them as much as when you see them now. So I think confident about that, we have enough players who have the experience for that.
You spoke about having like goosebumps now. What's the emotions like when you play at the Emirates?
Goosebumps as well. I think it's just so exciting. I think we're still not used to playing in front of so many people, so it is a very special occasion for us, and really exciting to have hopefully the whole stadium behind us, you know, to hear them, the noise, and it's going to give us that extra boost we hopefully need to go in the final.
What would it mean if it's a sellout there?
Yeah, amazing. I mean, that's what we're all dreaming of since we're kids, you know, to play in front of sellout stadiums, and at Arsenal in a home stadium. Haven't had that before, so something really, really special for us.
Yeah, I think a few of us were here last year at the quarter-final stage, and it was 2-0, I think, to Wolfsburg. But the fight that you showed today and how much you came back, what is kind of the feeling, how much you've developed in that last 12 months as a team and as a squad?
It's a difficult question. I think we all grew, like Jonas is, I think we felt it was Jonas's first season last season. We had a bit of a different squad. Right now we're probably playing with players who haven't really started a lot of games at the start of the season, so it's, I think today was more about mentality, to be honest. It was not really about, we changed so many things. Yeah, we're great in counter-attacks at the minute. We can switch on really quickly when we win the ball, which is at the minute our probably solution to score goals against these teams. But it is about mentality, and that's not something you can train. That's something which you create over the season, and I think the March period was really important for us in that case, because we had big wins. We came back from a lot of 1-0 down and stuff like that, so I think today was about that.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So that was Leo Volti, and you can probably tell from some of the language in that interview, but awful, shocking language, how much adrenaline there was in that Arsenal performance and how much adrenaline the players felt afterwards, because, you know, obviously the second leg is still going to be a really, really tricky tie, and like I said, I think Wolfsburg are probably still marginal favourites, but to come away with that result, I think you could tell it really meant something to the players, and Arsenal really had to show a different face in that game. They really had to grit that game out and fight, you know, playing a back three, which they don't usually do, missing so many players. A lot of that performance was, you know, a lot of it was tactical, don't get me wrong, and to do with positioning, but a lot of it was, you know, guts, quite frankly, and Arsenal are going to have to show plenty of that again on Monday evening. Now you're going to hear from Jonas Eidevall, and that's why I asked him one of the questions I asked him, which was about the different faces Arsenal have shown in this tournament so far, because, you know, on match day one they had the kind of counter-attacking masterclass against Lyon, which they won 5-1, but then I think back in the group stages to Juventus at home game, they were quite comfortable in, they were quite dominant, they were 1-0 up. A win put them in a really, really good position to win the group, and with 10 minutes to go they closed that game down. They were pragmatic, they just said, okay, 1-0's 1-0, that's a good result for us, thank you very much, we're shutting up shop, and they did that. And then against Bayern, you know, they come into the home leg trailing 1-0 and they really, really pressed high and went for it. As soon as it went to 2-1 on aggregate, they kind of pulled back. So they've shown a lot of different faces in this competition so far, and I think they're really going to have to do that tomorrow. So these are my questions to Jonas Eidevall coming up for you now.
Hi again, everyone. Joined by Jonas Eidevall, head coach. Jeremy, would you like to start us off again?
Hi, Jonas. Lotta was just speaking very emotionally about what it means to play in front of 60,000 fans at a sold-out Emirates. How proud are you to be leading a team into that environment?
It's a huge occasion for us as a team, for us as a club. It's a compliment to a lot of people, not only here that has been directly involved in pushing the sales of the tickets for this game and to generating the interest. This is built on the players that were here before this team, for the coaches, for people in the club, for putting everything together, for people like you in here that has been working, reporting, and putting the spotlight on the right places. And it's astonishing that it's happening, we're going to make our very best to repay all the faith that is put into us, but also to enjoy the moment, of course.
And with a tie on a knife edge, how big an impact could a crowd that big have on the tie?
I think our fans has been nothing short of brilliant this season. I think at times when we have had it tough result-wise, they've never gone quiet. They've always been there supporting us. I think they've been absolutely magnificent, and if they can be just as magnificent tomorrow, that's going to be a huge boost for the whole team.
What's the team news? Hertig and Ford, are they in the frame to be available?
Yeah, so Lina is in the squad and is fully available, and Caitlin is still a little bit away from playing.
So after 2-2 in the first match, how confident are you that you can get over the line and get to Eindhoven?
I don't think it's about me being confident or not confident. It's about me believing that we can do it, and the players believing that we can do it, and we're going to put everything out there on the pitch. It's one game that separates us from a dream, so let's bring everything on the pitch and leave it there.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, Jonas. You started with a back three last week in Wolfsburg. I'm not going to ask you whether you'll do that again, because I know you won't tell me. But one of the things, I felt like a slight difference from when Arsenal played that way at City and when Arsenal played that way in Wolfsburg, were the wide players particularly dropping in to central midfield, probably a bit more. Maybe I just didn't notice it as much in the City game. Was that a lesson from that game, and just how important were Victoria Pullover and Katie McCabe in kind of making sure Arsenal didn't get outnumbered in that area?
Yeah, I mean, from a numbers perspective, if we only speak about that last game there, of course, it's they play with three central midfielders, and we only play with two central midfielders. So it's a 3v2 situation to start with that we somehow needs to manage. And there is essentially, you can manage it from behind by stepping more with your central defenders to step onto to their midfield players, or you can manage it with your nine dropping deeper to deal with their six, or like you're saying, you can have your tens coming inside and work helping with the central midfielders, and it's about for the team to find a moment to do the right thing, but you definitely need to manage that situation in a game like that.
And another thing that strikes me just looking at Arsenal across the Champions League this season is just the different types of performances and the different adaptions maybe to in-game situations. I think of Juventus at home closing that game out at 1-0, the counter-attacking at Lyon, coming back into the game at Bayern. I feel like I've seen a lot of different sides of Arsenal in the Champions League, and I kind of feel like tomorrow maybe they'll have to show a little bit of all of those sides at different points. Is that what you think?
Yeah, I think that's a very nice way of putting it. I think that's what's required in the biggest games, that it's not going to be one-sided. You need to do all phases of the game, and you need to adapt during the game as well. You need to go in with an open mind, full of belief, try your very best, but both teams are going to tweak things underway, and it's about being coachable, being adaptable, being solution-orientated. I thought the players were magnificent in the away game in Germany, finding solutions in a really high-pressured situation. And if we can do that again, I would be very proud of it.
Thank you. I'm not sure if you remember last year when Tobin left, you spoke about her being like the tree in the Avatar movie. I was just wondering, with her coming back this week and also Kelly Smith coming back this week, did it almost feel like you're kind of plugging back into that tree in the Avatar movie?
It's also funny how you remind me of that, because of course Tobin was here visiting, which was lovely, because it reminds you again of all the great qualities she had both as a person and as a player for us. Kelly is a brilliant example, but also to see how the team responds for injuries with Leah Williamson and Kim now recently, for the team to really want to play. Also for the players that can't play at the moment, that's also the same analogy in that, to almost honoring those players. It's just such a nice way when a team can work like that, and you can't take that for granted. It's a special group of players that are really stepping up, and they are really living that culture at the moment, and it's a really, really nice being part of. And we need to keep that going on forward to create even more things to fill that tree with, so it can be even stronger in the future.
And obviously a lot of the focus is on the players, but with Kelly and Lydia coming into the coaching staff, obviously we know Patrick came in earlier, but what do they kind of add to your coaching staff coming in at these later points in the season?
I mean, Lydia, I think, has really helped us shape a really good culture around individual development and how we empower the players even more to be the one that is... They're in charge of their development, and it has to be like that. In life and in football, if you're not in charge of your development yourself, if you leave that in someone else's hand, you're playing a game of chance with your own destiny, and that can't be right. So you need to take ownership of that, and we need to build a culture of that, and she's been really important in doing that. Kelly provides us with the perspective of being a top player, not only in general but at this club. She knows what it means to play for Arsenal, and she also knows what it is to be executing these things on the pitch. So her coming in and helping us in the system to come in with the details for our attacking players, and to help with the way that she was thinking in how we can help the team best. It just provides us with a really, really nice perspective as well, which I have found straight away when I listen to Kelly, when I ask her a question, it makes us better. And I knew that it was going to be like that because I was lucky enough to spend some time working with her as a pundit for last summer's Euros. So I knew what I was getting. She maybe didn't realize it then when we were standing there discussing football, but I was listening, asking questions, and I was like, yeah, this is definitely good. It's definitely something that will improve us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks, Alan. Molly?
Hi, Jonas. We've kind of talked over the season and maybe even last season a little bit about Arsenal playing at the Emirates and making sure that it feels like a home, that you didn't kind of lose that home advantage, especially when the crowds were a lot smaller. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about that process and how you and the squad feel. And is this, I suppose, the culmination of that process being probably the biggest game of the season with the sellout crowd? It feels like this is kind of what you've been building up to across that whole process.
Yeah, but I don't see this as an end point for it. And I know this sounds very weird, but for me, this has always been the natural progression that we were going to get here. Then if it was this game or not, I don't know. But I felt the club has had a plan. The club has so many people that are doing the best that we can to advertise it. The players are doing their very best to advertise to come to the game as well with the way that we are playing. So for me, it's about the sustain, to having consistency on it. And for me, I hope when we look back on the day tomorrow in history, we can see that was one of the starting points where we started to making this as a regular occurrence. But you're right that we have been taking every opportunity that we have had since I came here to always go to the Emirates. That has always been the preference for it, for Champions League games and so on, to take every chance to go there in order to, for the reason to say, the more times we play there, the more it will feel like home, and also to say it gives us the platform and the foundation to spread our game to more people and to a wider audience. And I think that's so important. And I think we see the benefits of that now.
Sandra.
And just following on from some of what Molly was asking, I mean, obviously we've seen at the men's games, was it the Ashburton Army type thing? Is that something that you'd like to see or would hope to see in a game of this magnitude, obviously, you know, filling out with this one being packed out? I mean, is this something you would like to kind of see following Arsenal on the inside in when they're playing at the Emirates, for example?
I think the biggest, or one of the biggest difference when you see, when I compare our fans from this season to last season, is definitely that they have an even stronger supportive side to us. We have loud fans. We have fans that sings, and they're proud themselves of our out singing the opposing fans. And it's important to me, it's important to the team that we have fans that really come behind us, that really shows what it means to them, because it means a lot to us also, and together we can create that. So I like passion on the pitch, I like passion off the pitch as well, so I'm very happy to play in front of loud fans.
Jeez, thank you.
Thanks, Andrea. Anything else, Libby?
What have you been stressing in practice since the first leg, especially with this being a game that could go to extra time or penalties?
We've been focusing on our way of playing. Of course, there is a lot of different strategies that you need to deal with. It can be that it comes to extra time, it comes to a penalty shootout, so of course you need to have strategies in place for that. Also, it can be different results that you need to manage during the games, and you need to have a plan and clear strategy for that. But we've had the luxury of having a lot of training days this year, so we've been managing to work with a lot of things in our game that we usually are not have the time to do. So, and I've been really happy with the players' response in training, their concentration levels, and I hope we have prioritised the right moments that can make the most possible impact tomorrow.
Thanks very much, everyone.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
So that was Jonas Eidevall on some really interesting stuff in there, obviously about the game selling out and him paying tribute to you know, legends of the past, really. And that was quite a nice segue into him talking about Kelly Smith, you know, the legend to end all legends, who's come back onto the coaching staff until the end of the season. And I think there's something interesting in that, and that's a question I've got planned for Jonas at some point before the end of the season, about him bringing that experience in, not least with the players that have been lost through injury. But Jody Taylor was signed by the club in March, Jen Beattie's been put back into the team, Kelly Smith is here again, and I do wonder whether that, you know, how conscious and deliberate that is, having those kind of senior totem poles in and around the team as well. I think that's something really interesting, and that's something that we might pick up on. But obviously as well, I asked him, as I usually do, like a couple of tactical questions about how Arsenal deal with Wolfsburg's midfield three. Obviously he confirmed that Caitlin Ford is out on Monday evening, and Lena Hurtig will be in the squad, but I doubt she'll be fit to play. So I think it's almost certain that Arsenal will stay with the 3-4-2-1 formation that we saw in the first leg. So that was Jonas. Now we're going to hear from Lotta Wibben-Moyen. Again, maybe for those who don't know, just a bit of additional context here. Lotta's from Stoke Newington. She came through the Arsenal Academy, Arsenal family, kind of through and through. Went to study in America for a couple of years, but came back to the club 3 years ago. Still lives, I believe, in Hackney. So a real kind of local Arsenal fan. And so for her, playing in front of 60,000 people on Monday night, I think it's fair to say has a bit of extra resonance. And Lotta always speaks so well about any number of subjects, to be honest. So this was a thoughtful and slightly emotional kind of press conference. But I also again asked her a bit of a tactical question about the differences of playing as a wide centre back in a three compared to playing in a centre in a kind of centre back pairing. So this is Lotta Wibben-Moyen.
Yeah, I mean, I think exciting doesn't do it justice. I don't think any amount of words will be able to do that justice. There are a lot of feelings, a lot of sentiment, a lot of hard work that's gone into this. And yeah, a lot of people will see this final end product of a sold out stadium, but I think for me and for everyone at the club, it's about the process, and the process that started probably months and months ago, and the recruitment process of being able to bring in as much expertise in the backroom staff to be able to say, okay, we are supported by staff that can, the minute that final whistle blew at Bayern Munich, go, okay, we're going to get tickets on sale. And I think within the first 24 hours there were already, I think, 10,000 tickets sold. So yeah, I think the process is the most important thing, and while we will look at the end product, I think when you look at the future of sustainability in the game and for Arsenal women as a club, that's what's most exciting for me. Not only to play in the Champions League semi-final in a sold-out Emirates Stadium, but the prospect of so many more games there. I think that's the process that we're looking for.
And how much help a 60,000 Gooner is going to give you reaching the final, do you think?
Well, I know how much help I give to the men's players when I'm there, or when I was there as a young girl, and I hope that every Gooner there will channel their inner younger Gooner and scream their hearts out, because I know that's what we deserve.
2-2 after the first leg. I mean, what are your thoughts on clinching a final place, and how tough is it going to be given all the players you're missing?
Yeah, tough. Every game is tough when you're in the Champions League. There's such high calibre opponents, such high calibre players. But I think, as we have done across the whole campaign, we focused on ourselves and focused on the task at hand. I think what we learned from that 2-2 game was that we're going to fight, and we're going to fight till the end, and regardless of the situation that we have in front of us, regardless of the injuries, the availability, we have a deep squad and we have a squad that's ready to fight, and I think that's what will be reflected in the game on Monday.
Been practicing penalties?
Yes, we have.
How confident would you be if you needed to take one at the crunch?
Again, it's about the process. We've gone through it. Whatever that end product is, whatever that end result is, we'll know that it's the justified result based on everything we've done to get here.
Thank you.
Great. Tim?
Hi, Lotta. Before we spoke before the first leg about the kind of different faces Arsenal have had to show in different games in the Champions League. Do you feel like, reflecting on the first leg, that Arsenal showed another face in that first leg in Germany?
Yeah, I think, again, there's so much noise externally with the injuries, with the changing environment, situations, everything. But ultimately, when you get on that pitch, you play what's ahead of you, and I don't think we'd played a team that maybe was so direct in their physicality, in their sort of approach to playing longer balls and building in that way. So yeah, we adapted to that, and I think we showed a mature performance. Obviously, going 2 goals down, not ideal, but you work with it, you roll with the punches, and ultimately we left that game with a result that we wanted to take to the Emirates to be able to do it justice in front of 60,000 Gooners. Nothing better, really.
And you kind of preempted my second question there, which was, you know, Wolfsburg, one of the things they were doing was hitting particularly Jonstadtir over on the left. And, you know, what were the differences for you as, you know, playing on the right of a back three where you almost get dragged out to be a fullback? Was that different to adjust to, particularly against a player like Jonstadtir?
Yeah, definitely. I think she's obviously got a lot of pace, and likewise, many of their players, they have a lot of individual quality, and we respect that. For me personally, it's a different challenge to come up against maybe than in a conventional back four where I'm just a second centre back. I enjoyed it. Likewise, I think I'm already relishing the opportunity to play against her again on Monday. I think these are the pressure situations that every single player at Arsenal is made for, is ready to take on our chins, take in our stride, and with a World Cup coming up in the summer, no greater prep to play in a full stadium at the Emirates. Likewise, there'll be full stadiums, I hope, in Australia. So yeah, on an individual note, I'm relishing the opportunity.
Cheers, Lotta.
Cheers.
Hi, Lotta.
when we've spoken to Jonas recently, he said basically he feels like he doesn't have to share as much information with the players and that you guys can problem solve on the pitch a lot more. I was just wondering, is that something you felt and how have you kind of felt that develop over recent times?
I think if you step back and look at this second half of the season since January, we've had a lot of highs and also likewise a lot of lows. After that loss in the FA Cup to Chelsea, us as players came together in the changing room. We all sat down and I think that was a pivotal moment for us as a group. And from there, I think, yeah, everyone's been able to see our togetherness, our resilience. But likewise, I said earlier about process, we've gone through a process of building relationships within us as a team, between players. And when you have that as a bedrock to live in life in general, but also trying to succeed as a football club, I think you are then able to have harder conversations on the pitch. You're able to understand what a teammate is going to do. You're able to work off of that. And obviously when you then come onto the pitch, you're able to ultimately get closer to winning. And there are those fine margins that I think we're as a team understanding in Champions League, which maybe it's different to the WSL. We're understanding that that's maybe the difference that it's going to take. And if you look at our togetherness and our ability to problem solve on the pitch, I think that's somewhere where we're able to make that margin and take a leap forward to hopefully get a win, but even more so put out a good performance, which is what we're here to do.
Do you remember what that discussion was against Chelsea, or would you prefer not to go into details?
I think that's best kept between us as players, but it's a process. Every day we do little by little, working towards those end goals and those end products.
Yeah, and just as someone who grew up as an Arsenal fan, with Kelly Smith coming back into the kind of coaching staff, for you, how kind of as a feeling, how has that felt? And also, what are the kind of maybe intangibles that you can get from someone like that?
I actually remember going to watch Kelly as a young girl, and I got her to sign my Oyster card holder. I still have that Oyster card holder. Maybe 10 years later, I'm on the pitch with her here at Colney, training with her as a 16-year-old. A few years later, she's my coach. As a Gooner, or more so as a player, you understand the value that something like that can give you, not only to have the perspective going through watching a player like that, but then also playing with a player like that and now being coached by her. There are so many things that you can learn, and already I think her impact, just having her around and being conscious that she's watching, or also being conscious that she's going to be able to maybe give you a tidbit of information that could change the way you approach a ball or change the way you approach a shot. They're the fine margins that I'm talking about, to have that investment of an ex-player coming onto the staff, it's only good for the women's game, and I hope to see more and more of it.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Molly?
Hey, Lotta. You touched on it a little bit there about the kind of togetherness and the relationships between the players. I wonder if that has contributed to the fact that despite all the injuries and whoever has come in or out of the squad, it feels like it's been quite smooth when you've gone to play, even when it's been in such big games. Is that something that you've felt, and can you put your finger on kind of why that's been so seamless? Because sometimes it can be quite hard to make that jump.
Yeah, it's difficult because in hindsight it's so easy to say, oh yeah, it was so smooth. But in the moment, there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of expectation, there's a lot of quality that you want to give to a team, and I don't think in any moment it was easy, say. I think it's just been a step that we've been able to make as a team because of that bedrock of togetherness and connection that we have. I think from there, like in life, if you're comfortable, if you feel like you can be yourself, you're then going to be able to perform at the highest level. And I think that's a culture that we've been able to cultivate here at Arsenal, I definitely feel it. I think if you ask any other player, I think they'd likewise say that I know I can be myself, I know I can perform as a result at my highest standard, highest level. So I think that's probably maybe the key, and I can't put my finger on maybe one conversation or one situation that allows us to be in that situation, but I definitely think I'd attribute it to that togetherness and that bedrock of comfort that we have here at Arsenal.
And you've been part of this Arsenal team and also the England team that have seen huge growth in support and attendances over the past sort of 12 months, I guess,
yeah.
Specifically. Has it gone even quicker than maybe you imagined, or maybe younger you growing up, did you think you'd still kind of be this young playing at a sold-out Emirates?
I don't think I'd ever have dreamed of it, to be honest. It's quite an emotional thing, I think, for everyone to experience, not only maybe as players, but I think for you guys as well, being in it for such a long time. Maybe it was the straw that broke the camel's back, that Euros win, and now it's the floodgates have opened and we're getting our just deserves. Like, let's not forget that we're maybe 50-odd years behind the men's game. I think Karen Carney described it as a start-up business, and women's football is in maybe its infant years. We're walking, but we're about to start running, and heck, we're probably about to start sprinting as well. So I think everyone's contributions to that, not just as players, as you guys, as staff here at Arsenal, like I touched upon, and the backroom staff, like all of this contributes to it. And it's no surprise that we're going to be sprinting soon, because the investment's coming, the visibility's coming, everything is coming at the right time, and as long as we have that backbone and we have the opportunities to go and do it, sky's the limit. I feel incredibly lucky to be a part of it, but then I'm also kind of like, heck, we deserve it. This is what we're here for.
Thank you, good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks, morning. Sandra?
Hi, Lotta. You talked about the togetherness, and obviously, you know, Arsenal fought back hard to come back into, you know, in the first leg. And obviously, you've done that in other games, in other competitions this season with the Man City game at Meadow Park. Just how has that kind of helped with the mentality going into this match of yourself, your teammates, just being able to kind of overcome that hurdle, particularly when I think Jones has talked about the team thriving somehow in adversity this term?
Winning's a habit. Once you've done it once, it sort of becomes second nature, it becomes an intuition, and I think that's the point where we're at right now. We're coming into the business end of the season, and every game is a cup final in a sense. I'm not even getting far ahead as to talk about the league, I'm talking about the Champions League right now. And when you look at it like that, and when you have the experiences of coming back from goals down, when you look at fighting back, if that is something in your blood, in your DNA, then it will always sort of be part of you, and that's the luxury we have. And maybe it's not even a luxury because we've worked for it, and everything that we do day in, day out, process again, it's here for a reason, and we're here to continue that process, and what happens at the end of it, that end product, it will be what is justified and what we deserve.
And just going back to Kelly Smith coming in, obviously the last Arsenal player to play in a Women's Champions League final, just how's having her with that experience that she had, particularly because it was over two legs, been in terms of, you know, for you and your teammates?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, a fact checked, it was 2007, right? There were, yeah, like, that's even on the wrap of our stadium. The cultural relevance of the women's team to Arsenal as a club, even playing in the stadium, it's a club stadium. Like, this is where we play, this is where we deserve to play. And with Kelly coming in, her being a household name, these are all components that help, or will help, I think, create Arsenal as a club, Arsenal women, to continue to thrive in that conversation as Arsenal. And her contribution to that, having the experience back in 2007, obviously she's only been with us now for a week, but or even just being around, I think it contributes to our confidence going into this game.
And that's all we have time for this episode of the Arsenal Women Ask Cast. If you're on your way to the game, you're going to the game, hope you really enjoy it. I think for me it's going to be really emotional, seeing a kind of a 60,000 crowd. You heard there from Lotta, you know, she was asked about playing in front of a sold out Emirates and she said, you know, she never dreamed of it. And, you know, I guess I feel kind of the same. I was reflecting on this the other day, thinking about covering an Arsenal women game in front of a sold-out Emirates. And it's not that I didn't ever think it was possible. It's that I didn't ever think about it. Like, it just didn't enter my mind, really, as a possibility. So, you know, it's going to be very emotional seeing all of those seats filled. And I hope it's very, very far from the last time that we see it. But aside from all that, it's a massive game, a big opportunity to get into the Champions League final for the first time since 2007. But, you know, Wolfsburg are a very, very tough opponent. It's going to have to be another game where Arsenal are going to have to show that slightly gritty, dirty side to them, I think. And, you know, I really, really hope it goes well for them, because I think these players really deserve it with all of the kind of resolve and fight they've been showing. And don't know what the result will be, don't know how it will turn out, but I know that Arsenal will fight. And you know, hopefully those 60,000 fans turn up with the same attitude as well, because I know the players really, really appreciate it. And, you know, particularly with the type of performance they're probably going to have to put in. You know, your kind of involvement, I think, will really, really help. So that's all we have time for this episode. We'll come out with another one probably next week, regardless of the result, just reflecting back on this semi-final, because obviously a couple of very, very huge games in Arsenal's recent history. So we'll speak to you again in a couple of days' time.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.